And a good Friday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com. Our show this morning is brought to you in part, as always, by the good folks over at the Law Group here in Wilmington. Give them a call, 910-251-6088, or visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. Well, it's been a very busy political week, and not only here across the state of North Carolina, but overall the nation as well. So I thought we'd take a little bit of a break from politics on a Friday morning and take a look at a major story that is rocking not only the sports world, but the entertainment world, also rocking the sports betting world, which, you know, is a relevant story here in North Carolina. As the state legislature legalized electronic sports gambling back in March of last year, it's been going strong for well over a year at this point. And there is there was a major story yesterday that continues to unfold this morning as the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, led, of course, by Director Kash Patel, has brought forth a litany of charges against current and former NBA players, head coaches, Hall of Famers, members of organized crime families across the country in a major, highly sweeping, hard-hitting NBA gambling scheme. And there is a major North Carolina connection here as well. A current member of the Miami Heat, one of their guards in Terry Rozier, was a member of the Charlotte Hornets when some of these allegations took place. And a lot of it stems around a game back in 2023 when he was playing in Charlotte as a member of the Charlotte Hornets. Other individuals include Trailblazers head coach Chauncey Billups, as well as a former NBA player and coach Damian Jones. All three of those and many others arrested in a pair of sweeping and historic federal gambling busts that took place on Thursday. One of the two indictments covers high-stakes illegal gambling rings that allegedly funneled inside info to sports bettors. That's a major issue, as you can imagine. While others deal with high-stakes poker games that federal officials allege were rigged and involved four of the five major mafia families that exist in the United States. A total of 34 people were named in the cases following a multi-year probe covering 11 states and multi-millions worth of dollars. Authorities said, with FBI Director Kash Patel calling the scale of the fraud mind-boggling. Here's just a couple of little bit from FBI Director Kash Patel yesterday as he made these announcements in Brooklyn just after 10 o'clock yesterday morning.
Individuals such as Chauncey Billups, Damon Jones, and Terry Rozier were taken into custody today. Former, current NBA players and coaches. What you don't know is that this is an illegal gambling operation and sports rigging operation that spanned the course of years. The FBI led a coordinated takedown across 11 states to arrest over 30 individuals today responsible for this case, which is very much ongoing. Not only did we crack into the fraud that these perpetrators committed on the grand stage of the NBA, but we also entered and executed a system of justice against La Casa Nostra to include the Bonanno, Gambino, Genovese, and Lucchese crime families.
And when he talks about La Casa Nostra, that is an active Italian mob family. I mean, a lot of folks are saying this, and it seems pretty accurate for folks of the hit television show The Sopranos. I mean, this is something straight out of a Sopranos episode. You've got members of the NBA taking themselves out of games, having poor performances to make sure that the under, for those that are not in the sports betting universe, you look at many popular sports books and you would see, oh, a player is projected to score, you know, 22 points, something like that, for example. Well, you can choose to bet the under 22 points, or the over 22 points, right? You'll see that is a very popular sports bet that is placed not just in the NBA, but in a variety of other sports as well. And so when you've got active members of the NBA that are partaking in this, like Terry Rozier, who was a member of the Charlotte Hornets at the time, it was a setup rigged system in which he would have a bad game. He would take himself out, which is a common thing in the NBA. Players need a little bit of a break, need some time to breathe. They can sub themselves out. Very common, especially with well-respected popular players. Somebody like Terry Rozier, he would have the ability to do that. And in some cases, guaranteeing that the under would hit. If you're not playing, if you're not actively on the court, it is impossible for you to score points. And the fact that this was going on for many years, of course, a major issue there. Some of the other allegations and issues in this is insider information that was not public knowledge. Reports from a game a couple of years ago that LeBron James would not be playing, which would give, of course, an advantage to the team that he was playing. That information was made available to individuals inside of this gambling ring, but was not made available to members in the public who were likely betting on this game, was not made available to the odds makers, the various sports books and apps that are responsible for setting the lines. And of course, with one of the most prolific NBA players of all time sitting on the bench due to an ankle injury, I believe it was at the time, that again was not public, that of course sets up the game and allows individuals to bet against the team that LeBron James is playing on and allow them to win, which is exactly what happened. We also got some additional information from attorneys with the FBI about this, and one of the examples that are used are a Charlotte Hornets game that took place back in 2023. Take a listen to this.
The first case, Operation Nothing But Bet, exposed a gambling ring built around professional basketball, where players and associates allegedly used inside information to manipulate prop bets on major sports betting platforms. They placed wagers on unders on players to score less, rebound less, assist less, using information that was not yet public. In some instances, players altered their performance or took themselves out of games to make sure that those bets paid out. One example occurred on March 23rd, 2023, in Charlotte. Terry Rozier, an NBA player now with the Miami Heat, but at the time playing for the Hornets, allegedly let others close to him know that he planned to leave the game early with a supposed injury. Using that information, members of the group placed more than $200,000 in wagers on his under statistics. Rozier exited the game after just 9 minutes, and those bets paid out, generating tens of thousands of dollars in profit. The proceeds were later delivered to his home, where the group counted their cash.
What a wild story. I mean, for folks that are avid sports fans, for decades now, there have been discussions and conversations that this league or that league or this player, or this team, it's rigged. I mean, this is not anything new. But to hear the FBI describe the situation that was ongoing, where you had members of the NBA, by the way, making tens of millions of dollars a year just based on their NBA contracts, who were faking injuries to pull themselves out of games to make sure that, again, that under bet would hit, is just a wild story. I mean, it is something straight out of an episode of The Sopranos. Yet it was ongoing here in the United States and has been ongoing for some serious, for a pretty significant period of time. So as you just heard there, Terry Rozier exited 9 minutes and 34 seconds into the game, March 23rd, 2023, when the Hornets played the Pelicans. He was not listed on the Hornets injury report and is alleged to have told a defendant that he would be leaving the game prematurely due to injury. Rozier finished with 5 points, 3 rebounds, and 2 assists, well below his season average in points, which was 21.1 rebounds, 21.1 points, 4 rebounds, and 5.1 assists. The Hornets then would go on to lose that game 115-96. The defendant allegedly sold the info to bettors who cashed in for a grand sum of some $260,000 on bets against his points, assists, and 3-point prop totals, according to prosecutors. Rauscher is alleged to have met with the defendants 1 week later at his home, and as you just heard, count his cut of the winnings. In another game, March 24th, 2023, the Trailblazers versus the Blues. The Trailblazers rested four starters in the late stretch of a lost season. Those players included star point guard Damian Lillard and a couple of other players that were questionable or probable in the injury report. Right ahead of the tip-off, both players were downgraded to out after combining for 50 points in a 127-115 victory over the Utah Jazz 2 days prior. The indictment alleges that co-conspirator 8 tipped off a defendant before the decision was made public, prompting gamblers to place roughly $100,000 on the Blazers to lose the game. And while the head coach in Billup was not named in this indictment, the co-conspirator was described as an Oregon resident who played in the NBA from 1997 to 2014 and then began coaching in 2021, which would match Billup's resume pretty closely. And, well, what would go on? The Chicago would win. They'd beat the Blazers 124-96. Couple of other games as well. April 6, 2023, the Magic versus the Cavs. Orlando benched one of their key starters, despite all four having played two games earlier. The FBI alleges that defendants leveraged a personal relationship with an anonymous member of the Orlando Magic to place an $11,000 bet on Cleveland before the lineup was officially announced. And there's a couple of other games: February 9th, 2023, January 15th, 2024, January 6th, 2024, March 20th, 2024, and all of those games, all of those matchups, all of those contests were not decided, but individuals had insider information on what was going on with these teams, knowing that certain star players, and for folks that don't follow the NBA, I don't follow it all that closely, but unlike other sports that you might see, whether it's baseball or football, when you've got a star player in the NBA, a guy that is averaging 22, 25, some odd points a game, when that individual is not playing, there is a very high likelihood that you lose the game. Unlike any other sport, while yes, there of course is a team in the NBA, it is very individual player centric. And so when you've got these stars, when you've got these individuals that are doing everything that they, doing everything that they can, of course, to play every single game, they don't want to let their team down. And you've got this organized sports betting mob, which is the only way to describe it, knowing insider information, when you've got players who by the way, Terry Rauscher is screwed. I mean, he is going to serve a significant amount of time in federal prison. There is no argument about that. Innocent until proven guilty, no question about that. I feel that the legal system needs to go through its proper channels. I'm not saying anything. If he pulled himself out of a game, which is what the allegations are, just a little over nine and a half minutes into the contest, told people that, hey, I'm going to fake an injury 9 minutes into this game, make sure you bet the unders, then was collecting money at his house, his life is ruined. Terry Rauscher is going to spend a significant amount of time in federal prison, in all likelihood. That is not only is it completely and ridiculously selfish and immoral. Again, this is a guy who's making tens of millions of dollars a year. This is exactly the kind of crime that the Federal Bureau of Investigation is going to go after, is going to uncover, and you can guarantee that the Department of Justice is going to make sure that this thing is prosecuted to the absolute nth degree to try and curb some other activities that are guaranteed are going on in other sports, whether we're talking baseball, whether we're talking basketball, football, professional hockey, whatever major sport that you'd like to use in this analogy, this stuff is going on. And in this case, somebody blew the whistle, somebody went to the feds and released all of this information. And that, of course, has led to this major sweeping of indictments. There's another part of this as well, two indictments in this, about how mob groups were using a combination of high-tech contraptions, including essentially x-ray glasses and contacts, individuals, making sure that cards were shuffled in a certain manner to swindle high rollers out of nearly $7 million worth of monies in high stakes backroom poker schemes using a popular NBA players, coaches, folks associated with the league to draw in these high rollers. And it, you know, makes sense. I mean, if you're an individual that's got, you know, millions of dollars and maybe poker's your game and you're told that, hey, come play in this game. And, you know, we're going to have a, you know, NBA coach here, former NBA coach. We're going to have former NBA players. So that's a big get to sit and play poker for hours on end with an individual who played in the National Basketball League. That's obviously a huge draw. Then to find out that the bobs that were running these games had individuals counting cards, had various people at the table that literally could see cards, literal x-ray glasses to see through the cards, card shuffling machines that were tampered, mobsters from four of New York's five families allegedly rigged these card readers and computerized analysis machines to make sure that the best hands were given to individuals who were in on the take. Portland Trailblazer head coach and NBA Hall of Famer member Chauncey Billups was one of the people indicted in connection with this scheme. Whether he was playing in these games, knew exactly what was going on, it would seem obvious he would be getting a part of that cut. Again, all of this alleged. So you've got a kind of two different parallel stories here, just reading directly from one of the indictments. The card table itself would be a con in some cases, with the scammers allegedly utilizing surface-rigged and x-ray cameras that could read cards laying face down on the felt. Decoy cellular phones were also being used that could similarly read and analyze cards that were in use, according to the prosecutors. And most shockingly, poker cards would sometimes be tagged with marks only visible to players or other individuals wearing special glasses or contact lenses on their eyeballs, enabling the cheaters to play a rigged game in a full view of their obvious victims, according to prosecutors. Again, straight out of an episode of The Sopranos. So as you can imagine, this is a major story that is really bad news for the NBA. And I would argue not only the NBA, the rest of the professional sports world, the major betting markets, whether you're talking FanDuel, DraftKings, Caesars, all the various sports books that exist throughout the country. And more particularly, really bad news for folks that cover the NBA closely, which would include ESPN, who seemingly is just ignoring this story. Now they're talking about it, but they are making this out to be some grand conspiracy and actually blaming the Trump administration for what's going on. Stephen A. Smith, who over the last couple of years has really kind of been an interesting character to watch. He has spoken out on a variety of political issues, calling out those on the progressive left for their just insane doings, calling them out for just the ridiculously stupid things that they say or do. He was on ESPN, as you would imagine, on his show First Take yesterday morning, discussing this and claimed that this is, you know, just the doing of the Trump administration. Get a load of this.
How many times, for one incident after another, have I said Trump is coming? He's coming. I'm going to say it on national television again. Bad Bunny is performing at the Super Bowl, and all of a sudden you hearing ICE is going to be there looking to engage in mass deportations. The Super Bowl, disrupting things. Big night for the NBA. Wembanyama put on a show. That has now been smeared because we're talking about this story, okay? Remember, Trump has a long, long history connected to the world of sports because he had those casinos. Where do you think folks were coming half the time? I'm not talking about individuals. I'm talking about the culture. When people want to go to a casino, when people want to gamble, when people want to party or whatever the case may be, this was his kind of connection to that. Why am I glad you're here, Monica? Because don't be surprised if the WNBA is next on his list. Mm-hmm. Because when you've got all of these protests that have been going out there and people that have been protesting against him and what have you, this man is coming. He's coming.
And I don't know what the hell Stephen A. Smith's talking about here. Is he insinuating that these allegations are fictitious? Is he alleging that Cash Patel and Pam Bondi just made this stuff up? These instances all happened back in 2023 during the Biden administration. It would seem obvious to me, it's not immediately clear publicly, but it would seem obvious to me that this investigation started well before Donald Trump was in the Oval Office, which only happened 9 months ago. I mean, to have a ring like this be cracked, have 34 individuals indicted, multiple high-profile individuals arrested yesterday across 11 different states. This is not something that just materialized in the last 9 months. And let's be clear. It's not like day one when Cash Patel walked into the FBI, he's like, oh my God, we've got to go after the National Basketball Association. We got to go after the NBA. Let's figure out if there's an investigation that we can start. I mean, these stories like this, schemes like this, take years to investigate. Trump hasn't been in the Oval Office 4 years. Cash Patel hasn't been the head of the FBI 4 years. Pam Bondi hasn't been the head of the Department of Justice 4 years. There is a almost 100% chance that this started under the Biden administration, yet Stephen A. Smith is completely ignoring the fact. Now, he's a sports guy after all. He is completely ignoring the fact that members of the NBA, high-paid, prominent members of the National Basketball Association, were faking injuries and taking themselves out of games so that they and their co-conspirators could profit generously based off of prop bets. I mean, Stephen A. Smith's been pretty good over the last couple of years. He is out of his freaking mind with this take.
I've been saying it for a long time. And to me, this is the latest nugget of evidence that we're talking about right here. That's not to question the legitimacy of the case. We don't know.
A bullshit, Stephen. That's exactly. Hold on a second. That's exactly what you're doing. You are completely questioning the authority of this. You are completely questioning whether this is legitimate or not. You're claiming that I've been saying this before. I've say it again. Trump is coming after you. You're literally trying to discount the legitimacy of these claims by claiming that it is the president. Trump doesn't care about the freaking NBA. You think he even knows who Terry Rozier is? This is not a guy that's got all this free time that he's sitting in the Oval Office watching hours of NBA coverage every night. I mean, give me a break.
We don't know. But anybody that has been around him, anybody that has talked to him, anybody that has seen his reactions from the sports leagues and the positions that people have taken, they are not surprised at what's going on today. I'm watching a press conference with the director of the FBI. Yeah. Tell me when we've seen that. We've seen people, we've seen accusations before. We've seen athletes get in trouble with the law before. You don't see the director of the FBI having a press conference. It's not coincidental. It's not an accident. It's a statement. And it's a warning that more is coming. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're saying here. And everybody better, I'm just telling you, mm-hmm. it's as serious as it gets. This ain't the platform for me to get into it the way mm-hmm. I'm going to get into it. But I've been saying he's coming.
Stephen A. Smith is just he's just making a complete jackass of himself. And it's no surprise that he's saying this. If he, of course, is a company man for ESPN. Here's a press release for you. June 10th, 2024, NBA agrees on terms of a $76 billion media rights deal. Talking about how ESPN and ABC, both Disney companies, were in part of a $76 billion media deal, which is not, I mean, sports media is a very expensive deal, but it's obvious and clear why Stephen A. Smith and ESPN as a whole, as an entity, is claiming and saying the things that they are. I mean, it's abundantly clear. This is a network. This is an entity that has a huge vested interest in the National Basketball Association. They have literally got billions of dollars, tens of billions of dollars invested in basketball. This is terrible news for a season that just tipped off this week. So he claims that this, again, the merits of this kind of irrelevant. This is not like a real thing at all. This is just a complete farcical thing. It's the Trump administration, for whatever reason, going after the NBA. So Kash Patel was on with Laura Ingraham last night on the Fox News channel. And he was asked about these allegations from Stephen A. Smith as to why there was a press conference. I don't know, Steve. I mean, there may have been a press conference because 34 people, four major New York crime families, and an Italian mob are all intertwined in a case of rigging bets against one of the most successful, prominent sports entities in the world, the National Basketball Association. Maybe that's why there was an FBI press conference, but who knows? Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. Here's Patel on Fox News last night.
Yeah, down the street. By the way, this was so wild. Stephen A. Smith, the sports commentator, suggested that this was revenge from the president for all the kind of left-wing activism of the NBA. Your response to that, 15 seconds.
I'm the FBI director. I decide which arrest to conduct and which not to conduct. That may be the single dumbest thing I've ever heard out of anyone in modern history. And I live most of my time in Washington, D.C. It's right up there with Adam Schiff. We arrest people for crimes.
Well, it's the single dumbest thing I may have heard in modern history. Hard to argue with the point there from Kash Patel. Again, Stephen A. Smith says a lot of stuff that I agree with. Over the last couple of years, he has been consistent in calling out some of the nonsense on the left. But this is just an obvious attempt to try and downplay a story that is terrible for his network, in which he, like professional athletes in the NBA, are being paid to the tunes of potentially tens of millions of dollars a year to appear on. So major story, big questions for the future of legalized sports betting will probably come to fruition with some of this. Major questions about how the NBA and other professional sports leagues, whether it's the NFL, whether it's the National Hockey League, Major League Baseball, how they deal with this going forward. It's going to be a very interesting story to continue to track. We'll see if anything else comes of this, and I'll keep you up to date on it right here on the Nick Craig Show. Well, President Donald Trump is seeking some $230 million from the Department of Justice over some previous legal challenges brought against him. We'll get into those details with attorney Seth Woodall coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Before that, we'll get a quick word from Wilmington City Council candidate Richard Collier. We'll grab a quick break and return with Seth Woodall coming up after this. You're listening and watching The Nick Craig Show live weekday mornings, 7 a.m. YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and of course, 24/7, wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Richard Collier. I'm an engineer. In my career, I fix what's broken, solve problems, and I build solutions that are made to last. Wilmington deserves practical leadership, someone with real expertise and a long-term vision. I'm Richard Collier, and I'd be honored to have your vote.
And welcome back to the Nick Craig Show. Good Friday morning to you. Some comments coming in on our Rumble live chat and our other live stream chats this morning as it relates to this major NBA story. The FBI is showing the people that corruption is in every facet of our society. This shows us all sides. Even professional athletes are in on everything. And, you know, the question that Stephen A. Smith posed was, you know, we've seen things like this, and we have. We've seen players. I mean, you look at somebody like Pete Rose and things like that that were implicated in gambling schemes when they were either professional athletes or coaches, and we have seen that before. And so the question is, to me, why did the FBI have the press conference that they did? And I think this is a shot across the bow, and this is a message to every other professional athlete across every sport, every major sport. Whether it's basketball, football, baseball, hockey, doesn't matter. That if you are involved in a scheme like this, which you can guarantee there are players that are, or individuals, training staff, coaches, if you are involved in this, the FBI is going to find out and is going to prosecute you to the fullest extent of the law. I don't, you know, Stephen A. Smith says, oh, they're coming for you and turns it into a political thing. No, I think it's if you're a highly paid athlete or a highly paid coach, some of these guys making dozens of millions of dollars a year, and you're involved in some of these schemes, we're not going to stand for it. And we shouldn't, especially with the legalization of sports betting with now, and again, it's a lot of folks partake, a lot of folks don't, but with the prominence of legal sports betting now across the United States, you've got a much bigger problem when you've got everyday citizens legally betting on sports and you've got full-on organizations, teams, leagues, coaches, and players rigging games. That's a huge problem. You are talking about defrauding the American people. So, again, I completely disagree with Stephen A. Smith's garbage take on ESPN. And it's going to be interesting to see kind of what the reaction is and how it continues to unfold in the coming weeks and months. Well, here's an interesting political story for you. President Donald Trump is seeking some $230 million from the Department of Justice over some previous investigations. This ought to shake out in an interesting manner. To get a legal perspective on that this morning, it's my pleasure to welcome attorney Seth Woodall back to our airwaves this morning on the Nick Craig Show. Seth, not only is that a significant sum of money that the president is requesting, is there any precedent for something like this happening in the past?
No, I've never seen anything in the legal system or the Department of Justice that comes even close to this. So what's important to note is this is a lawsuit, or these are lawsuits that were filed against the Department of Justice by President Trump prior to assuming office in his second term where he's currently sitting. And they rise based upon two separate issues. One is the Russian collusion allegations that were made previously back in 2016, allegations he was working with the Russian government to steal the election. And now we know that, in fact, those false allegations were created by what appears to be President Obama, Hillary Clinton, and those around those two individuals. So that was the basis for the first lawsuit. The second has to do with Jack Smith's lawsuit or criminal charges for when they raided Mar-a-Lago and sought those classified documents and the criminal charges that arose from those. So those actions were brought prior to winning the election last year. So now Trump said it best. Basically, we're looking at him and he's suing himself, which is there's no precedence for that whatsoever. And that's where we're at. So he's seeking $230 million. You know, I saw Eric Trump last week, and I think the number that he threw out was that they had spent over $400 million in legal defense in these lawsuits and or criminal charges that have been filed all over the country against President Trump. And it was an absolute weaponization of the Department of Justice under President Biden. And it cost him $500 million or close to $500 million to defend that. So there's, you know, fortunately for President Trump, he has not only the wherewithal personally to persevere through that, but he had the resources and capital to try to defend that. And here we are. He is our current president. So he's seeking $230 million. What he's doing is he's trying to get a settlement with the Department of Justice. You know, what's weird about that is, in fact, he is the head of the Department of Justice, and he appointed the attorneys who now work for and run the Department of Justice. So Pam Bondi and her associate attorney generals and or deputy attorney generals have to sign off on a potential settlement with President Trump, which implicates potential ethical issues. And when I say ethical issues, I don't mean they're doing anything wrong, but as attorneys, we all fall under the purview of certain ethical guidelines. And if there's a conflict of interest, those attorneys would have to recuse themselves and have somebody else sign off. Now, the way the law reads is that any settlement with the Department of Justice has to be signed off on by the acting attorney general and either a deputy attorney general or an associate attorney general. And the ones we would look at for that would be someone such as Woodward. And these individuals represented Trump, so they're going to have to recuse themselves. Is he ever going to get that money? You know, I don't know. I think this is probably, you know, another situation where he's going to push it to try to prove to the American people that, A, he has been right for the last 8 years. He has been a victim of the Department of Justice. He has been sued civilly. He has been charged criminally, and he is a victim. And I think he's trying to establish precedents that if you try to use the Department of Justice or any other legal mechanism against your political opponents, there will be repercussions. And so I think that's what he's doing, is just trying to show the American people that I was right all along, and it's going to cost somebody a lot of money. And anybody that assumes this office or the office of the Department of Justice or the Attorney General in the future needs to be wary before they just start throwing allegations around to try to stop a political campaign.
Seth, you bring up something interesting referencing the commentary there from Eric Trump about the copious amounts of money that his family and his father had to spend on a variety of litigation and legal challenges, most of which, as we've seen now, were completely unsubstantiated. And I think that's on the mind of a lot of regular, everyday American people that are politically involved and maybe very actively politically involved. Seth, they wonder, is the gun going to be turned on me at some point? I don't have $400 million to spend in litigation. We're a middle-class family getting by paycheck to paycheck. That's got to strike some fear into North Carolinians and folks across the country.
I think it absolutely does. And I think over the last 8 years that we've seen individuals who would like to be outspoken about certain matters, may even have information that would have been useful in certain prosecutions or defenses of civil cases and or criminal cases, but they're scared to speak out because they know full well that if they're charged or if they're sued civilly, they just don't have the capital or the resources that someone like President Trump has. And in fact, President Trump is one of a very few that have the monetary resources to fight the Department of Justice. And if it was anybody else, I promise you, I see this on a regular basis. They probably would be sitting in jail under a bond they could not make, and or serving a prison sentence because they couldn't adequately defend themselves. Because when you're dealing with the government, especially the federal government at the level that we are in this situation, they basically have unlimited resources. And when someone like President Biden is saying at all costs, go against this guy so that he doesn't beat me or my predecessor or my successor, there's unlimited funds is what I'm trying to say. And the average person simply could not sustain that and would end up just getting steamrolled by the government.
Yeah, that unlimited resources thing is always the biggest issue. I mean, realistically, nobody, and in the case of what we've seen with President Donald Trump, you can do your damnedest to fight back against the federal government, but there's no amount of time, money, energy, or effort that they won't use to try and, in this case, unfortunately, try and bury their political opposition. This is a broader discussion, though, Seth, over the politicization of the Department of Justice, the FBI, other federal agencies against individuals politically that they disagree with. Do we ever begin to walk this process back, or do we continue down this path of mutual destruction? God only knows where that leads us.
Well, I hope that we're turning back the hands of time to 20 years ago, that, you know, we should be able to have political opposition towards somebody or a political opponent and not weaponize the criminal justice system against them. It's sad that we've had to endure this. It's sad that President Trump has had to endure this over the last several years. But, you know, I think he is obviously setting a precedent that he is fighting back. And, you know, I hope and I believe that maybe, just maybe, with the right leaders in place, that we can see that maybe politicians will start acting like mature adults. And we've not seen that lately, but I'm hopeful. And I think one of the problems is that, starting years ago, we started removing Christian principles, which were the founding principles of our nation, from schools, from government. And now it's just a free for all. Anybody can say, do what they please, and there's no more repercussions. But I think we need to start holding individuals accountable. And I think Trump is trying to hold individuals accountable. And hopefully there's going to be some turnaround there.
Let's talk about another free-for-all. Over the weekend, we had the La Resistance movement stand up here in the United States. No King's Day, their fourth or fifth since the president has been in office. A variety of different numbers that are thrown out there, Seth. I saw 5 million, 7, 20 million people all protesting across the United States. And for the most part, those protests were peaceful. You didn't have local police or military rolling up and arresting individuals. Everything seemed to go off pretty well. However, there was a concern, and something that has been kind of blowing up on social media is some of the things that were written on signs, some of the physical actions that individuals were taking, mocking the political assassination of Charlie Kirk, other individuals having signs saying, I've got another bullet for Trump. I mean, Seth, this is some pretty concerning stuff. Everybody wants and should have the right to protest. But I mean, when do you begin crossing that boundary when you're publicly calling for the execution of the president of the United States?
Well, legal precedents would show you that freedom of speech is very strongly protected and has been for decades. However, when you cross the line where you're trying to incite violence, it can be stopped. So typically speaking, individuals can engage in hate speech. They can say that I hate this person, I hate that person, I dislike this political figure or this leader. But when you start inciting violence and act in a manner that is going to create danger to one of these individuals, it can be stopped. And that comes directly from the United States Supreme Court. So the precedent is freedom of speech allows for hate speech, but it does not allow for hate speech that crosses the line to incite political violence. And so that's what we're seeing. I mean, you know, there's a number of individuals across this nation who have engaged in and participated in the No King's Day. And just like you mentioned a minute ago, talking about we've got another bullet for Trump, or, you know, mocking Charlie Kirk's death. It's sick, and it goes back to the lack of morals that I just mentioned a minute ago. But B, some of that can be illegal. And I think certainly that President Trump is going to take that seriously. I think he's going to pursue it. I think Pam Bondi may very well start charging individuals who are inciting violence against the president. This is a man who has survived two assassination attempts, two, not one, two. And so, you know, we have to take it serious as a nation. We have to take it serious as leaders. And, you know, I can't help but believe that Pam Bondi and the Department of Justice will probably look at some of these individuals, investigate some of these individuals, and possibly charge some of these individuals. And I think it's certainly fine if they're trying to incite violence against our leaders. You know, there's been presidents in this country that I disliked, President Biden being the most recent. But I never in a million years would be so disrespectful to say anything that would incite violence against him. I think he was a terrible president, but he's a human being, and we should have some dignity in that office.
And I think that really shows one of the big divides that you're seeing politically right now between the right and the left. Just like you, Seth, I was really not a fan of really anything that the Biden administration did at all, was very vocal about that stuff. But at no point did it even cross my mind to bring up some of these phrases. You're seeing, you know, 8647 of talking about 86ing the 47th president. There are hundreds of thousands of these signs across the country this past weekend. Where did the Democrat Party go astray? And it turned in from, yes, we don't like this guy, we think he's a threat to our democracy, our freedom, but now we want either death or serious injury inflicted upon him. Where did the Democrats turn wrong on this?
Well, I think it was probably the Democrats started turning that direction 30, 40, 50 years ago. And we've seen, just speaking of one institution, the university system in the United States, I mean, it's been a slippery slope for at least a generation where there's been just an absolute removal of morals, a removal of biblical principles, which, again, were the guiding principles, starting with the Mayflower Compact when we landed on the soul of what now is the United States of America. I mean, it was all God-driven. It was all Christian principle, biblical principles. And that has just been wiped away, especially in the Democratic Party. So I think we've just seen a slippery slope, and they have no morals anymore. And quite frankly, I believe that their church has become their politics. And so they worship their politicians at this point. They worship their policy ideas, and they're no longer have any accountability because they're not looking up. They're looking forward towards these individuals who just have no morals. And that's why we see that they're just coming off of some of the wildest stuff that we could imagine. And so when did it start? 40, 50 years ago at a minimum.
Let me ask you a political question on this. Do you believe that a leader, a strong leader in the Democrat Party, rises to some level of prominence and tries to tamp this stuff down? I mean, we've seen some of the current party leadership, whether you're talking about a Chuck Schumer, a Hakeem Jeffries, Seth, they kind of walk around this stuff. Anytime they're pressed on it, they just kind of shrug their shoulders and pivot to another question. They've really not faced this issue head on. Do you think a prominent Democrat rises to some, again, level of prominence and tries to tamp this stuff down? Because it's wildly unpopular with the American people.
I think they should. And I think what we've seen over the last 18 months, even before President Biden decided not to run for a second term and allowing Kamala Harris just to bypass the entire electoral system, we have seen that there has been just an absolute dislike for some of the lack of morals at the top levels. And we've seen that directly last year when President Trump was elected to be our next president. I think the American people, the majority of the American people, are sick and tired of what they're seeing. And so the Democratic Party has just fallen apart, and they have nobody to blame except themselves. They have done a terrible job of selecting leaders. And you look at guys like Gavin Newsom, who, in my opinion, you and I both are in North Carolina, and you know he is posting on Twitter on a regular basis attacking Republicans in North Carolina because he's mad about some of the policies that we have. And we're actually doing quite well here in North Carolina as opposed to what's going on in California. So, but again, the Democratic Party needs to try to pick a leader who will step up and try to squash some of this, because the average person does not like what they're seeing and what you're seeing on the TV, especially with this No Kings Day. Nobody can tell me, nobody in the Democratic Party can tell me that this was not an organized event across the nation. There was too much money spent. There was too many people, and it was too organized for the Democratic Party not to be behind it. This is just not organic. Individuals coming out and starting a protest. This is a very organized event. So in my opinion, if the Democrats were smart, they would try to get someone that was a little bit more moderate and could play on both sides and would actually have some moral appeal. And maybe that happens. But I just, you know, everything they do is kind of flies in the face of reason and common sense. So who am I to tell them what to do? But what they've done so far is not working. They've imploded on themselves. I've enjoyed watching some of that. And I think they're failing as a political party.
As some on our side would say, Seth, don't give them any good ideas. Don't give them any good insight on how to move forward with any of this. Seth, we always appreciate the insight and the information. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Nick.
Always great to catch up with attorney Seth Woodall. Appreciate his insight and analysis and joining us here on the Nick Craig Show. All right, that's going to do it for a Friday edition. Quick programming note, we will have a no show on Monday. We'll be back Tuesday morning, and coming up on Wednesday, we will be doing our monthly hangout for those that support the show financially on Patreon. You can head on over there, get access to daily show notes, all the various news articles and topics of the day. Patreon.com/Nick Craig. If you decide that you are interested in financially supporting the show for as little as $5 or $10 a month, you can get access to those and our monthly hangout. That is going to be happening Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Make sure you stay tuned to your Patreon email for that. I'll have those details coming out as well. So no show Monday, Patreon hangout on Monday, and we'll be back here Tuesday morning right here on the Nick Craig Show. Hopefully you have a great weekend. Thanks to our folks at the great folks, Melissa Gott and her team over at the Law Group, for their continued support. 910-251-6088. Or their website, lawgroupnc.com. We'll be back Tuesday morning, 7 a.m., streaming live, YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and of course, 24/7, wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great weekend. We'll chat with you Tuesday on the Nick Craig Show.